Well, we had about a one-year-long investigation, literally millions of documents to look into this bank and to... And what we found is pretty discouraging, that they have not protected our country against folks who endanger this country, including drug traffickers, terrorists, and so forth, who use our financial system to either clean up their ill-gotten wealth, in the case of the drug folks, or that use our financial system and banks to protect their money in the case of terrorists. And we have rules, we have laws that are aimed at stopping either the drug kingpins or the terrorists from using our banks for their purposes. And those laws were ignored by a U.S. bank, which was an affiliate of the biggest bank in the, just one of the biggest banks in the world, HSBC. So the stakes here are very high. I mean, money laundering is a term that a whole lot of folks don't understand, but the bottom line is when you money launder the proceeds of drug sales, or if you allow terrorists to use your banks to stash their money, this endangers our country, and we've got to stop it. We have tried to stop it. We've got some very serious laws in place that get banks to know who their customers are and not allow people with suspicious funds to deposit those funds.
Well, was this a case of this this bank having bad regulation, people looking the other way? What was it that was able to have this money move through without it being stopped?
They ignored the rules. The rules are very, very clear that the banks must know who their customers are, and if somebody walks in with $10,000 in cash, they're asked, well, what is it? If it's a small business person, the bank knows them. That's nothing suspicious about that. But if it's someone who's not known, or if the source is not known, the bank has got to ask. And if they are suspicious, file a report about that. Thousands of these reports are filed a year. But this major affiliate of HSBC, this international global bank, did not follow our rules. They even, in many cases, covered up the source of the money. There was a lot of Iranian money which went through this bank, and it was supposed to be sourced, but the source was covered up. It was hidden. It was left out of the documents so that the banks would not know it was Iranian money. We're talking about thousands here of transactions.
Well, I'm curious that, you know, HSBC being a global banking operation, what was it that they used their U.S. branch or their U.S. Connection to do this? Was it just to keep it in dollars, or why?
Yeah.
Or are there looser laws here or different laws from something in Europe, let's say?
Well, actually, the laws here are strict. And so what happens is if the drug sales, the money from drug sales, cannot be deposited in an American bank because the bankers have rules that they will have to know the source of that cash. So what they do is they smuggle the literally billions of dollars across the border into Mexico, deposit it into the Mexican affiliate of this HSBB Global Bank, and then it comes back into an American account cleansed. Now, because it comes from a bank instead of from a suspicious drug dealer, then the U.S. banks will take this money from this Mexican affiliate of HSBC. It's been cleansed. It's been laundered. And so now the drug guys can use this money to look as though it's legitimate money. They can invest it or do whatever else they want legitimately with it, but it's been laundered. It's kind of a circle. It can't be laundered by putting it directly in the American bank, because the American bank won't take it. So they go overseas to an HSBC affiliate and then back into the American bank laundered.
So as this happens, and we're speaking with U.S. Senator Carl Levin this morning, and Senator, as we look at this, you have this report now that has come out after the subcommittee has done this investigation. With the findings of the report, what are, I guess, hopefully some of the goals or some of the things that you would like to see addressed that would try to prevent this from happening?
Well, most importantly is accountability. Yesterday, the official, the top compliance person for HSBC resigned right in front of us. And so that surely was some accountability. That's a pretty strong message to that bank. The bank also has new leadership, which has laid out a whole bunch of important, strict standards. And we have a new regulator here, a head of a regulator in the regulatory agency that's supposed to oversee the bank, which also failed in its job. And so we're a little bit hopeful now that the message is pretty clear, because there's been some high-level accountability here with this resignation because of the new leadership in the bank, which sure sounds good. They make out a very strong case that they're cleaning up their act. They go through a whole lot of specific steps that they're taking to clean up their act, as well as a new head of our regulatory agency, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency.
Now, it's also mentioned here that, you know, HSBC was a case study. Is it suspected this is going on elsewhere? Are you going to look into other banks, or what is your thoughts and plans?
Well, what we're going to do now is see whether or not the first of all, this bank shapes up. We're going to follow this very, very carefully, and then if they don't, we will follow up with them. We think that, you know, we only can take on one bank at a time. We think this is the worst example that we found. You can't have perfection because money's going to slip through, but this was a case not just of imperfection. This was a case of just wrong, just total failure, collapse on the part of a bank's system, which is supposed to be there to protect against money laundering. So we're going to follow this bank very, very closely. We think that the message that we're able to impart to the other banks is the best way to do it.